Here's the good and better bits of Kennedy Malloy. On the worksite, there's good, better, and then there's Bosch. Upgrade to the new 18V lithium-ion batteries today. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Welcome to the big hump day edition, Wednesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Late breaking news. Kennedy out. Limo in. How are you, Limo?
Hello, Mickey. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Australia.
What have we got on the show today, Limo?
Oh, this is massive. Bare knuckle boxer, Beck Rawlings. Hello. From Queensland. Very excited about this. The first woman ever to fight in a sanctioned bare-knuckle boxing match, and she won, Mickey.
Cannot wait to meet her.
There we go.
What about Raccoon Watch? You brought this to my attention. The world's gone mad. Is this the biggest trending item?
It is the number one trending item on Twitter as we speak. There is a raccoon in St. Paul, Minnesota. It is climbing the UBS building. It started 8 hours ago.
Yeah. Get on board.
It's currently on the 23rd floor. Get involved.
Got the link, by the way, at Kennedy Malloy. Follow that.
Bang. Get on board with that. We have an international guest, one of the funniest men in the world, a great comedian. You may have seen him on the American version of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Wayne Brady, live here in the studio. He's about to embark on a national tour. If you love comedy, live comedy, you want to get out and see this bloke in full flight.
And he's not the only great comedian on the show today, Mickey. Adam Rosenbach's joining us live in studio. And you sent him out to review Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, so he's going to bring us up to speed with what the nerds are up to. We'll have the latest from Singapore. We'll talk about Trump and his antics. We might have a couple of quotes to play you down the pike.
And the Mexican soccer team have been up to some shenanigans. Well, you may not call them shenanigans. You might just call it a bit of standard warm-up behaviour before the World Cup.
And we have a couple of other people we're going to track down live on the show today. The bloke who sold a dog for $22,000, Limo. Jeez. Yes, I repeat, he sold a dog for $22,000. And right over there in WA, the guy who got arrested a fine for having a beer while he was fishing.
His name's Doug Vickery. We will chat with him as well to follow up on that to see how Doug's travelling. The poor bloke. On the receiving end of some very un-Australian behaviour.
All these stories and much, much more on today's big program right here on Kennedy Malloy. Sans Kennedy, thank you for swinging by, Limo, and helping us out.
Hey, when was the last time you and Jane did a show together? Because I see your heads on the billboards, and I think surely there should be a third blank head there just for all the fill-ins.
One in, one out. Jane can't be with us today. She has, and I'm making those quotation marks, family issues, which I think is a euphemism for boozy lunch.
She's probably listening now.
I'm going to put an APB out on all wine bars in town.
Give us a call.
You may or may not see. Do you know she went to lunch the other day?
Right, and is still there.
Well, no, she went out for lunch with 14 of her gal pals.
Oh, yeah.
They came home at 10:30 at night, which is, it's not a bad issue. At least it was in their hometown. Previously, they usually get on a private jet for lunch. It's true. Am I making this up?
No, dead right.
They make it. Then they go and travel into the state, and they go somewhere, have a boozy lunch, and then bring it back home.
And she likes to go to Paris as well with her girlfriend. Jane
had the feature in Sunday Life, didn't she mention
that?
Well, that's
probably it. She's probably burned out from all her media commitments. She's about to do a Barnaby Joyce style interview. So she had a big double page cover of Sunday Life. No mention of me in the article, but here's my favourite bit. Jane travels regularly to Paris with girlfriends for a dose of sanity. There's nothing like drinking champagne at 9 a.m. with your friends, followed by eating a baguette and then shopping for new saucepans and crockery to take back home to the ordinary folk.
There we go.
And give them out as presents. What is she like?
That's just good old-fashioned, relatable Jane right there.
Old plain Jane.
In fact, let's take
one of the people.
Let's take calls. How was your most recent trip to Paris where you picked up a baguette and did some crockery shopping?
Anyway, I believe she is actually, everything aside, she's doing some family bizzo, which we'll get we'll get an update on when she gets back. You've been spending a fair bit of time at home with the family, Lima.
I have indeed. In fact, Mickey,
any updates?
We had a big weekend. You know, you have little moments with your kids, as you would have had a few with the boys.
For sure.
Where you really celebrate those particular moments. We had one on Saturday night. The little fellow, when he gets out of the bath, he likes to run around nude for a while, right?
Don't we all, Emma?
I know the couple of times I've bathed Mickey, he really does.
It's when you put the talc on my bot button, I really fire up.
Hard to get a nappy on him, but trust me, it's worth the battle. And so the little fella runs around in the nude and he loves it, right? Yeah. The other thing he does, whenever he has a poo, he squats in a quiet place, and we know that he does it. Anyways, running around the nude, he goes under the dining room table and squats. And my wife yells out, "I reckon he's doing a poo."
Right.
So I lean under the dining room table, I pull him out, and sure enough, there's half a nugget just showing.
What?
Out of the bot.
So what do you do, the dive?
So I'm running. No. It feels like I'm in slow motion. I'm holding him up about 3 feet out from myself as I'm running towards the toilet, as I'm just praying that he doesn't finish this.
It's like you've got a bomb that's about to go off.
That's right.
And I eventually make it and I get him down on, and then he just goes, and then plop.
Oh.
And my wife got emotional because it was his first poo in a proper toilet.
You know what?
In an adult toilet.
Wow. That young boy could grow up to be another poo jogger. He could be. If you play your cards right, Lima, you could have a poo jogger on your hands.
That would be a treat. Hey, Mickey, I've heard a rumour about the poo jogger.
What?
We could be seeing him on the red carpet at the Logies. So.
Whoa.
keep an eye out for that.
His partner has to bring a little bag. Follow me around. Now, wait, Raccoon Watch, okay. You've been bringing this to my attention. What the hell's going on?
Mickey, it's been going on for 8 hours, Raccoon Watch.
And people are watching a raccoon on the side of a building in Minnesota, is
That's
it?
Right. It's climbed. It's currently on the 23rd floor. We'll give you updates across the day. It's sleeping there at the moment on the 23rd floor balcony. Odd place to stop for a snooze, by the way.
We'll come back and tell you the weirdest place we've ever fallen asleep. We've got those stories. We want you to give us a call.
133353.
Weirdest place you've ever fallen asleep. We'll all do this in honour of Raccoon Week.
You got it. Hey, we're here thanks to the new Bosch ProCore 18V lithium ion batteries. Good, better, Bosch. Limo in for Jane.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Limo is in. Hey, by the way, at Kennedy Molloy on Twitter, we've got the live stream of Raccoon Watch.
This is the raccoon that has climbed a building, the UBS building in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's been climbing this building for 8 hours. People are worried sick.
They've fallen asleep. People have turned up to watch it sleep on a windowsill.
And I can tell you that MPR Raccoon, the hashtag, is the number one trending topic globally.
That's huge.
And it got us thinking, where's the weirdest place that you've
fallen asleep? Because this raccoon's having a snooze on the 23rd floor balcony.
Can I say?
Please.
Yeah. In my own bed.
That's weird.
It's an absolute rarity. Hang on, how did this happen? What am I doing here? I'm woken up in a strange environment. It's my bedroom.
That's you.
My
bedroom.
Mickey, front yard. Mickey's right at home.
Yeah, that's right.
What have you got, Limo?
Mate, true story, and you might find this hard to believe, I once fell asleep at the dentist whilst getting a filling. That is a dead.
Were you under the gas at the time?
No, nothing. I'd been working breakfast radio for a long time, and I was just exhausted, and I fell asleep. And the dentist said to me afterwards, "That is the single greatest compliment I've ever received."
Oh, well played.
That I can give you. But I nodded off in the chair.
Well played, Dave.
My in-laws are big churchgoers, and my father-in-law goes every week with my mother-in-law, and he fell asleep in church while standing up through the whole service. Well, which I thought was quite an effort.
I was famously outed on TV the other week by Glenn Robbins for falling asleep in the back of a helicopter on the way home from a golf trip.
Right. New Zealand.
Were you flying over a particularly scenic part of New Zealand at the time?
It was beautiful. Beautiful, apparently. Let's get into the calls. Dave, weirdest place you ever fell asleep?
I fell asleep on the back of a motorbike coming back from the Phillip Island Grand Prix.
Oh, that's a risky practice
there,
Dave.
That's not bad. Well, did you tape your arms around the stomach of the person in front of you?
No, I was about 8 years old. I was up there with my godfather, so I don't know how I held on, but I managed to do it.
You would have woken up in a sudden had you got it wrong. let me tell you.
Yeah, nicely done, Dave. Mark, where did you fall asleep, mate?
Beside a 20-ton spike roller.
What's a spike roller, man?
Like a earthwork, you know, rolls and packs dirt.
Right.
And they moved it, and I stayed asleep. They didn't even see me.
Oh, man. How hungover were you, Mark?
Pretty. It was after Melbourne Cup.
Oh, yeah. Well.
That's when the spike rollers come out.
That full sentence is, it was after the Melbourne Cup, Your Honour. Good on you, Mark. Thanks for the call. Don, what happened? Where'd you fall asleep, mate?
Done me dough at the club. so I caught a cab home but didn't have any money, so I'd done a runner, and the next door neighbour's fence, jumped his fence, but got all hung up with me leather jacket, middle of winter, and was hooked up on the fence for 4 hours until they woke up in the morning and came and knocked the palings off the fence.
You've crucified yourself. Have you just told me you fell asleep doing a runner?
Yeah.
Come on, Don.
That's the worst runner in history.
Hey, but I got away.
Oh, you got away, did you?
I got away. Oh. I got hooked up, as I said, I got hooked up on the fence. And, yeah, excellent. The only way that they found me is they came out the next morning because the dog was barking and when they let him out.
Good on you, mate. All right, Don. You've got
a weird,
lie down.
You've got a weird bloke stuck to your fence. Mick, where did you fall asleep, mate?
At the F1 Grand Prix, by the side of the track.
So wow. That's pretty good going. Because I have to say, Lebo, yes. The first time I went to the F1, I knew it was going to be fast, but I had no idea it was going to be that loud. Yeah. And that was out of all the senses. Mm. That was the overriding one for me leaving. My ears were pinging for weeks.
And you can hear it from half a city away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
and Mick's laying next to the track.
Oh, mate.
What sort of condition were you
frothies.
In?
Oh, too many frothies. The minute the beer tents opened, we went straight for them.
Mm.
Yeah. And, got to about 3:30 in the afternoon and, I decided to have a bit of a kip.
I like your style, Mick. Well done. Ben, where and when did you fall asleep, mate?
Hey, guys, it wasn't me. It was a mate. We were having a few beers in his back shed, and I've got a little tattoo kit, and I got stuck into the Forex man on his leg above his ankle.
Hey.
I was going in, and he sort of said, I looked at him, and he was out cold, and I said, hey. And he goes, yeah, I'll do it. And he fell back asleep again.
So you gave him a tattoo while he was asleep?
Yep.
So what exactly did the tattoo end up being, Ben?
You know, the Forex man holding up the beer.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
He would have been angry when he woke up.
Hey, Ben, is it wrong of me to think that it sounds dodgy that you've got a mobile tattoo kit in your backyard?
No, it was someone else's backyard.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You're not calling us from jail, are you? All right, let's boot this baby home. Jeremy, where did you fall asleep, mate?
On a ski lift.
Oh, right.
Well, what happened?
Mate, we were up there for a few days, so we'd had three big nights on the booth, and the last day, mate, been a bit tired, went up once, came down, jumped back on, and for about half an hour.
She just kept going around. Look at this guy.
just reminds me of Dumb and Dumber. You know, he got that
time. Yeah, I didn't get stuck to it, but very much like that.
Right. Sounds great. Well done, everybody. We're going to come back with Beck Rawlings. By the way, Jane Kennedy has just contacted me.
Oh, yeah,
and? What's happened?
She's not happy about that opening break with you.
She
thanked me for cleaning it up. All I'm allowed to say is she's at a school function, I'm guessing involving one of her beautiful children, and she'll give us more details tomorrow.
Right, alcohol-free school function, is it?
She'll be right.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Aussie MMA star Beck Rawlings is a pioneer of a fighting revolution. Bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, I think it was the excitement of the unknown for me. I get an adrenaline rush over that.
Beck won her first fight against Alma Garcia.
This fight has been stopped and the win goes to Beck Rawlings.
But what did it feel like?
I did feel my hands a little bit. I'm like, oh, that feels different. That's weird. And my hands are a little bit swollen.
To tell us more, or maybe nothing at all because you know the rules.
You do not talk about Fight Club.
Please welcome Rowdy Beck.
What is going on, Beck? Talk us through it. And firstly, I had no idea bare knuckle fighting was back. And how the hell did you get involved?
First of all, I had no idea it was back until they contacted me. So, they reached out to me after I finished fighting for the UFC. They reached out to me and offered me a fight. And the Aussie in me was like, hell yeah, sign me up.
So, Beck, what made them choose you? Because, there are loads of fighters out there. There must have been something about you that made them come your way.
All of my fights, I've gone out there and tried to finish these girls, and my boxing's always been my thing. So I definitely think that they saw that I could go out there and dominate in the bare-knuckle boxing.
Well, I watched your fight, Beck, and there doesn't seem to be that many rules as far as I can see. In fact, at one stage, I believe you may have grabbed her by the ponytail, held her head back while you punched her in the face. Now, that was all good.
Yeah, we're allowed to work in the clinch. That's called like a tie clinch, but it was like a single hand tie clinch. So I was allowed to reach behind her neck.
When you put it like that, it sounds
like... I didn't pull
like
her ponytail, but...
Oh. Yeah, tell me, Beck, it's a brutal fight, and there's a lot of blood in the ring, the octagon, wherever you... Is it an octagon?
They call it the squared circle.
The squared circle. There's a lot of blood in there, and
geometry class.
I'm confused. I'm looking at your mitts here. Conor McGregor said on your performance about you, he said thumb position perfectly for bear fist shot. Zero damage to the paws taken. Great work, Beck. Was there zero damage to the paws, or did your hands come out of this a little bit sore?
They were a little bit bruised, a little bit swollen, but no fractures, no breaks, nothing like that. I'm good back at training right now, so pretty good.
And what is training? Are you bare knuckle sparring? What are you doing at a training level?
No, I train like a boxer. I still wear gloves in training. I hit pads. We spar with gloves. I just do a lot of drilling, bare knuckles, so I'm catching bare hands, throwing bare hands. But yeah, it's all controlled drilling, so I'm not actually punching anyone in the face with my knuckles.
Who are you going to beat up next? who've you got your eye on? Where do you go from here?
They're not exactly lining up after my last fight.
I don't imagine they are, Beck.
No, and I have to say, we're quite happy to be doing this interview from another state.
How did your progression go from hairdresser to MMA to bare knuckle?
Basically, I would go to hairdressing during the day, and then at night I found myself a kickboxing gym that I wanted to get fit and try out. And then I fell in love with that, and so I kind of started ditching hairdressing to go to training. I just trained full-time in the end and really concentrated on fighting.
Well done.
I love this about Australia. Jeff Horn, the school teacher.
Yeah.
And now we've got Beck Rawlings, the hairdresser. don't mess with these Aussies.
Our next champ will be a librarian from somewhere.
Hey, just to let us know how long we've got to get into shape, when is your next fight? I know you said they're not lining up, but when are you hoping the next blue will be?
They're looking to match me for an August show. If I don't do that, I'll be fighting MMA in the US. So I'm looking at fighting both bare knuckle and MMA still. So I'm going to be very busy this year.
Has there been a bit of blowback, Beck? Have people been critical of the whole bare knuckle fighting?
When I first signed with them, there was a bit, you know, oh, that's bad. That's street fighters. That's, you know, thuggish, this and that. But I think after the event, after it was run so well and there were so many professional athletes fighting on it, and it went really well, everyone loves it now.
Right. What about the woman you fought? Does she have the same view?
I spoke with her a little bit after the fight. She actually had me do her ponytail up because I broke her hand, so she couldn't do her hair.
And you'd pull her ponytail.
No, I fixed her ponytail, okay? Because
she had broken hands.
That's okay. She doesn't need them now because she's weaving baskets in the country. She's retired, has she, Beck?
I'm not sure. I don't think she'll be fighting bare knuckle for a bit because I broke her nose also.
Oh, so. My God.
This is a hard day at the office. When you're the person you're working with has to put your ponytail on because you've broken it. She's broken both her hands.
Make it look great with a mullet, do you reckon, Beck?
Oh, I think you could rock a mullet. The front, party in the back.
Yeah, there we go.
She could cut my hair with her broken hands after a fight. How about that?
All right. Good on you, Beck. Thank you.
You can follow Beck Rawlings on Instagram and Twitter at Rowdy Beck.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
Now, Limo, you spent a fair bit of time on farms, is that right?
Did you have kelpies yourself?
We did indeed. I grew up on a farm in South Australia and we had working dogs, kelpies, my whole life.
Well, one's gone at the auctions, at the sales, for 22 grand. North of 22 grand. That's a lot of money for a dog. Now, if you're going to pay that for any dog, it'll be a kelpie, no doubt.
Just to confirm, you said $22,000.
I said $22,000,
right,
mate.
Okay.
This is a world record. A two-year-old dog, it demolished the previous record of 14,000. 60 kelpies were offered at Casterton.
Right.
50 sold at an average price of $5,000. But this one took $22,000. The buyer's advocate, obviously the buyer wants to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
The buyer's advocate was Steve McLeod. He's under strict instructions not to give away any identity, but we've got him on the line now. Steve, did you get in trouble when you rang him up and said, I bought it, it's 22 grand?
No, not at all. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. No, I was under strict instructions, so I slept well that night, what I was told.
When did you know it was getting serious? So what did you, can you tell us what price you were thinking of in the at the start?
Oh, well, I was thinking maybe up to 10, but then there was one earlier on went to 16 and a half, so.
Okay.
So, Steve, essentially this dog, this Kelpie, is the Winx of dogs.
Well, yes, you could say that, but I think he's named Seven, so we can call him Winx.
Okay.
Glencairn Seven is the dog in question's name.
What is it about this particular Kelpie, Steve? Because I grew up on a farm. We had a Kelpie, Brandy.
How'd yours go?
Beautiful dog. We had that dog for 15 years. Dad wouldn't have paid $22 for it. Right? It used to sleep in the front yard, wasn't allowed inside, and we used to feed it food scraps. Is that pretty much the life this dog's going to lead, Steve?
Somehow, no, I don't think so. It'll have to earn its tucker because it's a fantastic worker, but... there's no reason why the husband won't get kicked out of bed and the dog will get in with it.
I'll tell you this, at 22 grand, that dog would want to come when you call it. and quickly, Steve.
Not just that, Mickey. This dog would want to fetch a beer out of the fridge for you when you ask.
Hey, forget licking his own. He'd want to lick your balls.
come on.
I reckon. Hey, can I ask you this? Is this dog allowed to ride in the back of the ute or is that considered? Is he too precious now? Does he ride up front?
Well, he'd have to ride up front, but I can't speak for the owner.
Right. Hey, at 22 grand, Steve, this dog would want to drive the ute.
He'll have its head out the back of a stretch limo.
No, out the roof of the stretch limo.
Where they put a bucket on its head, it's a champagne bucket. One of those old ones. So what type of work's it going to be doing? This is a cattle dog. Now, we're joking around, but of course, you, I think, said in the article, a good dog can do the work of two grown farmhands. Is that right?
Oh, certainly one, yes, yeah. Yep, so if you put into perspective of how much it costs for labour and maybe a motorbike for the person to ride around in, the dog's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And, Steve, what was it about this dog that made it double the value of some of the other dogs there?
Well, I suppose it's just the owner's opinion, or the new owner's opinion, I suppose, but... They didn't need many commands, and it knew what its job was. Basically, it knew what it was out there to do with minimal instructions.
Yeah. And is it true it'll only drink out of the water if it's sparkling water?
I'm not sure whether the dog's red or white.
Right. Loves a San Giovese, I heard.
That's right. When you smack it on the nose, you've got to roll up a business review weekly rich list.
And, Steve, is it true that we're going to see this dog on the red carpet at the Logies with the French Bulldog?
Maybe the Brownlow. Maybe the Brownlow.
Good on you, Steve.
Steve McLeod from Elders Hamilton in Victoria. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
We RSVP'd yes.
And then remembered we had to take the cat to the vet.
So we sent Adam along instead. This is Rosie's Review.
Adam Rosenberg, welcome to the big program.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's like we're down the pub together. This is how we generally spend a Friday afternoon, isn't it? The three of us over a couple of jars.
I do enjoy it. Now, I heard you boys, I was on the way in, and I heard you talking about falling asleep.
In weird places, yes. So, yes. Limo in a dentist chair.
Yeah, getting a filling. Mid-filling, I nodded off.
I fell asleep when we were in Afghanistan in the back of a C-17, which is a transport vehicle, and you know how loud they are.
Yeah,
I out like a light.
I fell asleep in a chopper over the top of Kabul. Just having a relax. I thought the gun's out the side. I'll take care of any problem.
Yeah, safe as houses.
I'll be fine. The weirdest place, it wasn't me that fell asleep. It was my girlfriend, and it was while we were having sex.
That's not much of a review there.
She nodded off while she was on top of me. There was one point where I was like, gee, she's getting heavy. I don't want to say anything. So if there are any ladies out there who want a cracking night's sleep, I'm your man.
Okay. You'll get a good 8 hours with Rosie. Trust me. I wasn't expecting it to take that turn, but we're on.
The rest of that story's on Rosie's Tinder profile. If you want.
Does Rosie win a prize?
Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming
Prize pack coming your way. All right. Jeez. Now, what did we send you to do? How does Rosie's review work?
All right. From what I can gather, it's things that you and Jane agreed to do months ago, and then when it comes up to the date, you've gone, I'm not doing that.
All right. mate.
We've said yes. So this weekend.
You go
weekend,
and do a review. Where did you go?
I went to Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. Now, let me get the date. This is Oz Comic-Con.
Yes.
It's in Melbourne, or was in Melbourne.
Was in Melbourne
weekend
on the weekend.
Just gone. It's going to Brisbane, 22nd, 23rd of September, and Sydney, 29, 30 September. And what is it?
Okay, so basically, if you're into your superheroes, if you're into your Star Wars films, your comics, that kind of thing, it's for those people who are excited by that. And I'm not, I'll admit, I'm not into that kind of stuff because I'm what's known as an adult. And so I don't really get into that kind of stuff. Now, Dave,
I love it. I love
here
it.
You go.
Dave! I've been for the last 10 years to Comic-Con. I love it. Well, I love,
do you
I
dress
love
up?
Pop what culture. No, I don't do the cosplay, which is what people do. But I met Christopher Lloyd, who was Doc from Back to the Future.
That's pretty cool.
At Comic-Con. Got a photo with the Doc and the DeLorean. Yeah, oh, it's great fun.
Hey, Dave, when you're home alone, do you wear a cape around the house?
I don't. I don't, but look, it's full of nerds, but you feel at home.
So how did you go? So you felt a fish out of water?
Oh, absolutely. So that's the biggest part of it is the cosplay, which, as I on the day, I called it fancy dress. Okay? You can't call it fancy dress. As soon as
is that
said,
no good?
Oh, no. It's called cosplay. As soon as I said fancy dress, there were like 20 lightsabers held to my throat. Everyone just going, mate, you can't say that. And people really get into it. If you're not dressed up, you stand out. Everyone is dressed up. And mostly the general ones for the guys, it seemed to be a lot of Spider-Men.
Right.
And for the
popular
ladies,
with the 5-year-old kids, I have to say, as well.
Yes, very. And also for the ladies, it was Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And also think a little bit
of kind of hot, isn't it?
Yes. Very sexy.
Was that Margot Robbie?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also a little bit of a coincidence. A lot of the guys look like the fat guy from Lost, but I don't think... I don't think they were dressed up.
What happens there? Are there international guests? Are people queuing up for stalls?
Well, they do that. They have competitions for the cosplay. They sell sewing machines down there. That's how serious these people get. So you can make your own costumes.
Oh, if you have an accident on the day. Oh, mayday. Spider-Man split his pants.
They do do that.
Whip him into triage.
Get your brother out.
You're good to go.
It's a bit embarrassing for the master of the web to have to poke his ass towards a sewing machine.
Yeah, isn't that what the webs are for? It should be 3-3 count coming
out. There's a guy at the corner who's bought his Husqvarna making a fortune.
Cross-stitch, please.
This is hilarious.
Rosie, what's the breakdown between adults and kids at this thing?
I would say probably about 70% adults and 30% kids. Adults dressed up and they're having a ball. Like it's just
everyone's having a good time.
Everyone's having a good time. There's no trouble. It was the toughest I've ever felt at an event. I give you the tip. I felt I could have taken anyone there.
So do you have a system? Do you give it stars or do you just go? Is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I gave it a thumbs up for the day. The one thing that everyone is there for, you can get pics and autographs with the celebs who are there, but that doesn't come cheap. So an autograph is $110. You got to buy a token. So
what? A token?
Yeah, you buy a token and you go up and you get something.
So this is the business end of Comic-Con.
Yeah. And if you want to get something autographed, you can't get two things unless you have two tokens. So say, for example, you wanted to get your breast autographed. That's two tokens. So it's $220.
All right. Did you get a breast autograph?
Absolutely. I got it tattooed. And you can get a photo done for $130 and they take the photo and get it developed for you. So you got to go pick it up like Fosse's in the 1980s.
Stepping back in time. Yeah. We're back in that Christopher Lloyd time machine.
Yeah,
what sort of celebrities are there that are demanding $110 for a signature?
So there was Julian Dennison from the little kid from Deadpool 2 and from Hunt for the Wilder People. There was a girl from Buffy.
Oh, he was very funny in Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And the guy from Magic Mike, I don't know who he is, and he's also in True Blood. He was the one charging the full price. But I thought I'd get in on it, and I made a bucket load of money because I dressed up as Jar Jar Binks and charged $50 to punch me in the face. And the Star Wars fans are getting into that.
Yeah. Very good, Rosie. Very comprehensive. I'm wrapped with your first ever report. Can you hang around, though? Because I found a bit of a podcast you're involved in. I wouldn't mind. Apparently you mentioned me. Is this a podcast with you and Dave O'Neill?
Oh, no.
Oh, this is awkward.
Hang around.
All right, well, we'll play that right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Limo filling in for Jane, who's out today. Adam Rosenbach is in. By the way, Adam's got a podcast called Junk Time AFL, which you get on iTunes, which is fantastic.
Have a listen. How's that podcast going, mate?
Going really well, not causing any trouble. So
that's right. So what's the podcast you do with Dave O'Neill?
So Dave O'Neill, he's a man who agrees to anything. And he does a lot of gigs in faraway places. And generally, on the drive back, he sets up the recorders and you just have a chat about how the gig went. And
what's that called? For anyone who wants to have a
debrief. The debrief, yes.
The debrief, and you did one. And did my name come up? Did it?
I believe so. I've been reminded that it did. I don't recall. It's a long
have
drive.
Have you found it, have you, Dave? Yeah,
would you like to have a listen?
Oh, I'd love to have a listen.
This is from the debrief with Adam and Dave.
There's someone like Mick Malloy, he wouldn't cook.
Oh, mate, I've been to Mickey's place and you'd be lucky to find there's usually like a tub of butter and maybe a couple of craft singles in the fridge.
Yeah,
like six slabs.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I'm around there, it's not like I ever want food, so it's fine.
No, yeah. No, you don't want... Oh, God.
But I have had some toast late at night at Mickey's place. Mick's, so, you know, it makes you happy.
I love the fact that he bought a house in a big building and then they open up a bar downstairs.
Yeah.
And I know you've been to that bar with him.
Yeah.
And it's like cheese, isn't it? He knows all their names.
Oh, mate. In. Yeah, he knows the menu. He just knows it back to front.
And as his brother said to him, there's also a gym in your building.
So you're the one who made the toast and left me without any bread in them.
Do you remember making the toasties that
I
night?
Remember toasties. It's my drunken toasties. Do not do this at home.
Right.
But what you do is you put the bread in the toaster and then that pops up. You lay the knife over the top of the toaster, which melts. No, that melts the cheese while the bread's down. Then you take it off before the toast pops up and then wipe the cheese on it and you're away. But there is an element of danger to it.
Yeah, just slightly. And then later on when you're in the bath, he also makes toast with the toaster right on the edge of the bath for you. That's a lot of fun as well.
How dare you? How dare you get on and give away secrets?
That is true.
That's how you can tell a single man, isn't it? Two cheese slices. And a yogurt with a beard.
The contents of the fridge. I remember when I used to live in a share house, but mind you, I was 19 at the time, Mickey, but there were four of us in this share house, and on our first night, we had half a litre of milk and 72 stubbies in our fridge and nothing else in the house. That was it.
Limo, I lived with you for 2 years, and I reckon I saw you cook three times, and it was the same meal. Spaghetti bolognese.
Spaghetti bolognese.
Time.
Well, I remember that.
I tell you what, I got pretty good at it.
The third one was really good.
I remember seeing a film called The Upside of Anger, which was about a hardcore alcoholic, and the lead role was, what's his name? Dances with Wolves?
Anybody? Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. Mm. And he was playing an alcoholic, and he clearly hadn't done his homework because I was there seeing it. I was laughing all the time. Oh, look, he's ironed his shirt. What an idiot. But there's a scene where he opens up the fridge and he's got full kit, full food, celery sticks. And I go, this is bullshit. And stormed out of the cinema, basically, going, this is terrible. Hey, thanks for swinging by. You've got a gig with. You're down in Melbourne and doing a gig
at the Bowen Heads Hotel on Friday night with Dave O'Neill.
Bowen Heads, a beautiful beach down there, I understand. Now, can I bring you up? Can we just quickly come to speed with the latest from Singapore?
Oh, please.
These top level talks between Trump and Kim Jong Un.
Has he lifted the lid, Trump, on what was said between him and Kim Jong Un?
Yeah, there's a bit going on, but he's also taken the opportunity to sell some condos.
Okay, he's thinking ahead.
He's thinking for clearly thinking about what he's going to be doing after his term as presidency. Here he is describing what North Korea could and should do.
As an example, they have great beaches. You see that whenever they're exploding their cannons into the ocean, right? I said, boy, look at that. Wouldn't that make a great condo behind? And I explained, I said, you know, instead of doing that, you could have the best hotels in the world right there. Think of it from a real estate perspective. You have South Korea, you have China, and they own the land in the middle. How bad is that, right? It's great.
He's just making a presentation for some timeshare arrangements on the peninsula of North Korea.
Mate, it's going to be the new Bali.
the world is a monopoly board to Donald Trump, isn't it?
What is wrong with that man? What has the world come to? You can't make this up. Hey, guess what? I'm very excited. Our guest coming up after the news is going to be Wayne Brady. Five times Emmy.
Grammy nominee, actor, singer, dancer, improviser,
songwriter.
He's
got a massive national tour up on blocks. A very funny man. You want to get involved. If you love live comedy, go and see him. We'll be speaking to him next.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
You got that right, big fella. What an hour it is. Very excited to let you know. Raccoon Watch is back. It's up and running. Minnesota's gone mad.
It has
indeed.
The
world wants to know what a raccoon like looks like when it's sleeping.
Last we heard, it was on the 23rd floor.
Yes.
With no signs of it descending.
Live streaming at Kennedy Malloy, by the way.
Live streaming, yeah. Yes. It is. Well, there you go. Get on board straight away. What else we got, Lemo?
Mickey, I know you're very, very excited about this. We're going to chat with Doug Vickery, the man outraged. Who was on the receiving end of some un-Australian behaviour when he was fined $200 for having a beer whilst fishing.
Beer is Australian. Fishing is Australian. If you can't do both at the same time, what has this country come to?
It is an absolute disgrace.
Of the end. We've got the Mexican soccer team who've been partying with prostitutes for 2 days as a warm-up for the World Cup. Is there a story there? It's business as usual, I would have thought.
I can't see where they've gone wrong. We'll be discussing that a little later.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But we'll start the big second hour with this bloke.
On Whose Line Is It Anyway? Improv King Wayne Brady was always up for the challenge no matter what was thrown his way.
This is Lee. She's a retired school lunch lady. You're going to do a song to her as a singing stripogram.
Wayne's hosted many successful TV shows which have garnered him 6 Emmy Awards. And he's hit the stage many times, including stints in Rent, Kinky Boots and Hamilton.
And no, even he can't get you free tickets.
Either you have to be related to me by blood or we're sleeping together. I don't get no damn comps.
But Wayne's got an evil side too. Just ask Dave Chappelle.
Oh, s***, Wayne Brady, son!
Babe, calm down.
Those were people you shot. God damn, man. You got a daytime Emmy, nigga. You ain't supposed to be doing shit like this.
Bringing his live show to Australia, please welcome Wayne Brady.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That's quite a VO. I love the voiceover.
Well, it is. That's a guy.
Very official.
Lee Simons, who's the father of the house here. Back in the day, he was probably the biggest DJ,
yep.
One of them in Australia, and he sits out the front now and does footy for us, but we pull him in to fluff our guest pillows. Welcome, Ryan. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you for having me, but I don't want to talk about anything else except the Mexican except the Mexican team.
Well, this is news. It's piping hot news. The Mexican soccer team, the World Cup's 2 weeks away.
Right.
They went on a team bonding exercise.
Of course.
And got busted in a hotel room with 30 prostitutes.
The whole team?
Pretty much
the whole team. Mickey, you say prostitutes, VIP escorts, please.
Ladies of the evening.
Because
there's a big difference between just your average prostitute and a VIP escort.
I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. That's right. It was a night out. I don't know who they think they are, the West Coast Eagles. It's a local reference, Wayne.
But I'm going to laugh at it nonetheless.
Wayne, do you see that as a professional or an unprofessional preparation for the World Cup by the Mexican team there?
We each have our processes. So, arriba, arriba.
And how do you prepare for a big tour? Like, you've come out here to Australia, and this is, we're going to get all the dates. Yep. Where can you find these, mate? A-list.com.au. It's a big national tour going to all states. How do you prepare?
With a room full of escorts.
There it is.
Helping me with my improvisational skills.
What were you doing? Impro. At $500 an hour.
It's a very expensive show.
It's an expensive impro session. Hey, tell me this, Wayne. On a serious note, you have a... your bio runs for pages and pages. As you're walking down the street, minding your own business, what's the main thing people reference when they want to stop and have a chat to Wayne Brady, out of all the things you've done?
I think it all depends. It really depends. I think that my curse and blessing has been a career that people can't pin down, and they like things neat, especially back in Hollywood. They like things neat, and I'm not that. I'm an actor, singer, dancer, writer, a producer. Like what? No, you know what?
You're a quadruple threat.
I am whatever the job calls for. Yeah. So that's what I am. I'm whatever the job calls for. So it depends. It depends on if the person watches Whose Line, the old version with Drew Carey, or if they watch the new version with Aisha Tyler, or if they're fans of Let's Make a Deal, or if they're Broadway fans, or if they like my music. It really depends. So I think it's really cool that people can't necessarily agree on what I should be known for. I'm like, good, keep them guessing. Here in Australia, you know, a lot of the sitcoms I've been on have played, but of course I think it's Let's Make a Deal. It's Whose Line Is It Anyway, of course.
Very popular.
Which is especially because I think that Australia, much like the UK and like Canada, has this big tradition of improv and theater. And so you guys love that art form, and I love doing that art form. So I'd say that that's what I'm known for.
And the stage, it seems to me, apart from everything else, a natural habitat for you. Do you love live performance like this? Like,
I love live theater. I love doing my improv show. It gives you a rush that you can't get doing something in front of the camera that you could do various takes. Like, I just joined the cast of this great sci-fi show called Colony. Right. And it's an amazing show. And I wanted to be on it so badly. I've got this great character arc. And there were times that you sit there, take after take, and then I realized, you know what I really love about being on stage is the immediacy of I walk in at 7:45, curtains at 8 o'clock, I walk on stage and I start making stuff up, and then I walk right out. When you're shooting something, shooting this drama, you start work at 6 and you're out at 6 a.m. and everything, but I love being on stage. I love being on stage.
It's boring as batshit, I think is what you're trying to say.
No, it's exciting in its own way because I want to go back for season 2, so don't go putting words in my mouth.
All right. We're going to have you out of here in about 10 minutes or so. We'd like to speak to you more.
More with Wayne after this.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy.
Wayne Brady. By the way, Brady AF, the Australian tour, kicks off this week, 15th of June through the 27th at alist.com.au. Starts at the Gold Coast on Friday at the Star, then Wollongong, bang, Canberra, Sydney, Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane and Perth. alist.com.au.
At the Riverside Theatre in Perth. You'll love that gig. Mm. That will be fantastic. What can people expect to come along to see the live show? Does it defy categorization at this point?
Well, it's if you're a fan of Whose Line and you like improvisation, then this is like an improvised rock concert.
Yep.
First thing I do when I come out, because we were just talking off mic about how maybe some people think that Whose Line looks easy.
Which is a compliment to you.
It's a compliment.
And your team, but it's a science.
Well, it's a sideways compliment, which I think, don't get me started on my old man rant.
Because there I just think, guys, strap yourself in, everyone.
Man,
come
I just
on.
think in life, and especially in the arts and in the world, this bar has been lowered where folks look at you and they go, oh, I can do that. Well, did you train for it? Nope.
No.
I can do that.
No.
But I got a YouTube channel. Bitch, I don't care about your YouTube channel. You have not done this. And so in doing improv, I think because we do it seamlessly, either people doubt the veracity of it. Mm. They go, there's no way that you really are making that up.
Yeah.
Do you have a cue card or do you know what's coming for? No. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an improv show.
And improv, it's a high degree of difficulty for any. Trust me, we've all been shipwrecked on the shores of an improv. Yeah!
It's so high. But that's the part that I think the audience loves is that walking on a tight wire. So I establish from the second I come out, because my partner, Jonathan Mangum, comes out and gets words from the audience, from all over the audience. And as soon as I step on stage, they throw those words at me and I'm freestyling a rap song as I'm doing it, using folks from the audience, using their words in real time, then and there.
Fantastic.
And then I'm using audience volunteers in almost every game, people that I don't know, bringing folks up, using someone's Facebook feed, using their Instagram.
Is there a splash zone? Is there a dangerous area for audience to be in?
The whole, anywhere you sit in that theater is fair game. But I say that to say, because I know that there are certain people that you go to a show and you don't want to be picked on. It's not that kind of show. Like, I know that certain stand-ups revel in the fact that they say, nowhere is safe, baby. I'm coming after everybody. It's like people didn't pay you to come to be humiliated. There are clubs for that. Where the Mexican soccer team at my show.
There's a new pro I'd like to see.
maybe I'll get him out to the show. When I invite someone on the stage, I'm not taking the piss out of them to make them the butt of my joke. I'm going to use you to make the funny.
Can you tell who you like? Can you scan an audience RoboCop style and go, these people will be up for it, these people.
drunk. This guy is drunk. Yes, I think after all these years, I've got a pretty good radar as to who would make a good volunteer, but... Of course, I mess up sometimes, and I'll get the guy that's been drinking since yesterday. and he comes on, hey, why? Someone just sing a song about my butt. And then, he's like, no, dude, I'm not singing a song about another male's butt. I'm not doing that.
Is there a percentage of people that try and outsmart you, if you like? I've got a suggestion that's going to trip him right up.
But they don't understand. And I'm not bragging about this. You know, facts are facts. If you're a doctor and you went to school for it, you know your job.
Yes.
Yeah.
After all these years of doing it, it's psychology.
Yeah.
So there are a list of suggestions that people, no matter which country you're in, no matter which state back home, always if I say, give me a big word, someone goes, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I got him. No, because I've had that. Someone's anti-disestablishment. No, I know that one too. Orange. Nothing rhymes with orange. Door hinge. Shut up. So just let me do my gig.
Oh, man.
Just let me do my gig and make you happy. That's all I want to do, people.
Get along and see it. Hey, before we go, we'll give those dates out again. We'll put it on our website.
Thank you so much.
You go to the alist.com.au website. I have to mention the bit you did with Dave Chappelle on Chappelle's Show. I think it was a sketch called Training Day. When I say sketch, it's a bit demeaning.
Because no, this was a good sketch.
It was the high watermark of sketch comedy, and I watched it thinking this is just totally brilliant. Was that a great experience for you working with Dave? And did you have any idea how famous that sketch was going to go on to become?
I had no idea that the sketch. And sometimes I wish it weren't as famous, because when folks like something, you can't control what people like, and it's a blessing to have people like anything that you've done.
Yes.
But I think that when people go, that's it, that's the only thing I like, it's like, well, dude, I've got 5 pages of stuff you could. But the cool thing about that is, personally, I didn't know how big it was going to get, but I just knew that it was good.
It was good.
I just knew that it was really funny, and I knew that we'd written something that was, that in my mind, the best school of comedy is when you are either making fun of or hitting something dead on. That if you're doing a police sketch, it should look like a real police show so that you get everything right. So I think we got everything right, and then we were able to play with perceptions and all that stuff.
You shot Dave Chappelle in the knee.
And I got to
let's be honest.
And now Dave is so jacked and muscular that I wouldn't that he might pimp slap me now. But man, I love that sketch. It was great.
It was well, great. I tell you what, if you love live comedy, get along and
tons
see
of
this
music
bloke.
And tons of music. In my show, because it's all made up music.
All right.
All made up music. So come ready with suggestions. I promise you'll love it.
Brady AF is the show. Wayne Brady is the man. Thank you for coming in today, Wayne.
Hey, thanks for having me, sir. Thank you, guys.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Limo filling in for Jane today.
Limo, every so often a story comes across your desk where you go, that is bloody un-Australian. And this one caught our eye yesterday. A bloke in WA over there in Perth, Doug Vickery, has copped a fine for drinking while fishing.
Well, that is outrageous.
These are two of Australia's greatest pastimes. On the one hand, fishing. On the other hand, drinking. Put the two together, bang!
There it is. Yeah. There are three things you can't do without drinking.
Yeah.
Play pool.
Yeah.
Play darts.
Yeah.
Or fish.
Got the trifecta.
Got to have a drink while you're doing these things.
I can't believe it. This went all the way up to the police commissioner in the great state of WA. I'm angry about it. We've got Doug Vickery on the line now. Doug, how are you travelling, mate?
Oh, I'm okay, mate. It's just unbelievable, really, isn't it? It's like a dictatorship at this point.
I think we're an over-governed country here, mate. Now, you obviously, whereabouts are you from originally, mate?
I'm originally from England, a place called Newcastle upon Tyne. I'm a Geordie.
And you're a Geordie, and you come out here attracted to our casual way of life. You go, those Australians have got a good attitude. They lie around in the sun. Nothing phases them. You come out here and you cop this. Talk us through what happened to you on this day while you were fishing.
I was octopus fishing at a place called Two Rocks. I'd been there for about half an hour, and a pair of coppers turned up, and says, they've had reports that I was seen stepping out of my vehicle with a beer in my hand and that I was seen speeding around the marina. I said, nah, mate, it wasn't me. He says, look, have you been drinking? I said, yes, I've had the one beer. I finished it 15 minutes ago. He says, right, I'm going to breathalyze you. So he breathalyzed us and I passed.
Right.
And you know what he said to me?
What?
He says, right, you're going to get a $200 fine for street drinking.
What?
I'm like, what do you mean? He says, you admitted that you had a beer half an hour before we arrived on the rock wall when you were fishing, so you're going to get a fine for that. I'm like, mate, nah, you can't do that.
That's entrapment, Doug.
You're going to get a fine for admitting you had the beer.
Doug, that's right.
Doug, you're quite right when you point out this is un-Australian. If we can make it happen, would you be prepared to meet with the Prime Minister, Kim Jong-un, Donald Trump style, to settle your differences?
Oh, for sure. I'm sure Donald Trump would sort this out. Big Kim, I bet he would be all over this.
How'd you go fishing-wise? Did you get anything?
I caught an octopus, and then I went home.
I was watching a story about you, and there was another guy in WA who'd also got fined for because the strap on his helmet, he was riding a motorbike, was too loose.
Oh,
so you know, lucky there's no serious crime going on in this country.
See, well, exactly, that's it, isn't it?
Doug, have you learnt your lesson though? Will you crack another beer next time you go fishing?
Well, of course I will. Everybody has a beer when you're fishing. You know,
you know what your defence should have been? I was going to beer batter the fish.
There we go. You're preparing a meal.
Yeah,
you're preparing a meal. You're like a chef. Great to catch up with you, Doug, and good on you. We'll keep it. We'll follow this story, and we'll see if we can get any response from the police over there.
Yep. Have a good one, champ. That's excellent.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
See you, mate. Bye.
What is this country coming to? I'm worried about it. And I don't think there's a better reason, having heard that story, than to, well, present a bit of this.
It's one of the most commonly used insults in the Aussie vernacular.
It's un-Australian.
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 I should know. I've been Australian all my life.
They'll be telling us how many beers they have, Nick.
And another thing is, it's un-Australian.
Un-Australian.
Un-Australian. If you can't have a beer while you fish, this country has lost its mind.
What's the plot?
It's lost its heart, its soul, its history, its touch with reality. That should be enshrined in a constitution.
Completely.
There should be a Latin inscription somewhere.
In fact, there should be a fine system in place if you're fishing without a beer.
That's right.
Blow to this bank, you're sober. Right, out. Hey, let's do it. Un-Australian activity. We've all witnessed it. I'll get the ball rolling. We talked about this recently. This got right up me and Jane's nose together. It was the tobogganing at Perisher has been banned.
What?
This is, Perisher. Was it Perisher or Thredbo? It's the same thing.
How can you, but you toboggan at the ski slopes. That's what you do.
No, mate. No, well, you can't. I mean, that was our rites of passage. I remember as a boy being popped in a plastic bathtub and being pushed down a very steep hill by my father.
Hold
and
on.
Coming a cropper. And emerging from that plastic bathtub, a man. That's what it's all about. I mean, what's next?
That's
you can't throw a snowball at your mate.
I tell you, it's disgraceful. I'll give you one then, Mickey, along the same lines. Every single playground now is plastic. Yes. Everything in playgrounds everywhere is plastic. I remember growing up as a kid, there was a joint near where I grew up called the Monash Playground. It was just...
hardwood.
4,000 tons of twisted metal and bad welding.
Yeah.
And there would be...
Chinese lead paint.
At the end of the day, there was a slippery dip there that was 5 stories high.
That's
you'd go up that one on a 42-degree day, rip half your skin off on the way down, and you'd be grateful for the experience.
If you got to the bottom, your parents would hug you like, I didn't expect to see you again.
Your parents weren't there.
That's right.
They were at the local waiting for you and the other kids.
I got one.
Remember climbing a tree? Oh, yeah, this will be good, Dave.
Yeah, I got fined for parking my car out. Outside my house.
You need to let that go,
no,
mate.
I got, there's a centre line and I was within 3 metres and so $95. That's un-Australian, Lima. Oh,
that's like, were you having a beer?
Oh, I should have been.
Hey, now listen, what's happening there? Is there any update?
Yeah, there is an update. It's being reviewed. I got a letter from the council because I emailed the council and said, look, you know, this is un-Australian. So let us review it. And so they're doing that right now. So, look, I might not have to pay the fine.
Give us a call. We want to know un-Australian activity. Report it directly to us. We'll put you on after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
your new way to drive home.
Jane is out, Limo is in. We're doing this.
It's bloody un-Australian.
133353.
And we're doing it because a bloke in WA got done for having a beer, one beer, while he was fishing. Mm. And as you point out, Lima, it'd be un-Australian not to have a beer. Yeah. We're not happy about it. We're throwing open the phone lines to people who want to identify an Australian activity. Ty, what have you seen, mate?
Mick, Lima, how are you, lad?
Good.
Good, mate.
You wouldn't believe it. We're having your typical worksite barbecue, so a few scotchies, some snags, rissoles, all standard stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the lads, bit of a fitness freak, decided to bring in his own vegan veggie burgers and asked if we could cook them.
Right, okay.
But not only did he want us to cook them on the barbecue, he asked if we could clean the plate of all the animal fat that wouldn't contaminate his veggie burgers.
That's where a big get stuffed comes in, I think, Ty.
And how did that go down, Ty?
Well, obviously he wasn't there while we were cooking them, so they got put on the most laden part of the barbecue and subsequently they were the most flavoursome veggie burgers he'd ever had.
There he goes, well, these veggie burgers are very tasty all of a sudden.
I've got to remember this place. I've got to buy them from there again.
It's an 80s veggie burger that he caught salmonella from. Ty, you can't ask a man to clean his own barbecue to make way for a veggie burger.
Yeah,
un-Australian activity, well done. Ty, that's a prize for Ty.
Yeah, Kennedy Malloy, prize back for you, Ty.
Nick, what do you got, mate?
Yeah, mate, I've got the pinnacle of un-Australian, and that's the going to the servo, getting a pie, and then they try and charge you 20 cents for sauce.
No, that's a joke.
Boo.
That is
got some
a
booze.
Joke.
I've got this.
It's bloody
un-Australian.
That is disgraceful.
In the end, I just refused to have sauce with a pie in protest. I do my own little pie.
You've gone original. You've gone nude. You've nude-pied it rather than pay the 20 cents extra.
Yeah, but I can't see how I can justify it, mate. But anyway, they're all doing it. And,
mate, well, it is
I
wrong.
Go pie without sauce.
Mate, next time you do it, make sure you give them a... What you should do is you should get the pie and then start, like, sauce with that. Let's say 20 cents. You know, you say, you know what? I won't have the pie. Give the pie back and walk out.
Oh, a little negotiation, a little haggling.
Then you've gone... They've done themselves in on the cost of a pie that you've now handled.
I would have thought you could take that to the consumer watchdog.
What, the ACCC?
The ACCC. For 20 cents for you.
Let's take that all the way. Yeah. Let's go to the High Court. If anything goes to the High Court, it's that.
Yeah.
Cisco... What's the un-Australian behaviour you've got for us?
Mate, I was convicted, given 2 years high-range drink driving on my horse on Anzac Day.
It's bloody
un-Australian.
Hey, Cisco, you shouldn't have ridden your horse through a breatho, mate.
No, I went to the dawn service and then proceeded to hit a few bars on the way home. That's all.
On your horse?
On the horse.
So did you tie your horse up old-school style out the front of the pub?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Had your horse had a couple?
Mate, I don't know. He was in control of himself. I was just sitting on his back.
Now, Cisco, first things first, drink driving is never anything to laugh at at any stage. But I would have thought being on a horse on Anzac Day may...
And if the horse is controlling the journey home, Cisco, surely that would make it okay?
You didn't do anything. There wasn't an incident, was there?
Absolutely not. Mate, I was just having a wee rest on his back.
Cisco, you might have had that coming, mate. And was it a Shetland you were on at the time? All right, mate, and like taking your keys off you, do they take the reins and say, we'll give these back to you in the morning. Come and see us down the station. Righto, Cisco, good work. Kate's on the line. Hello, Kate, what have you got for us?
Hey, talking about tickets and the police out the front of your house, I was ticketed being less than 30 centimetres away from my own driveway. I actually measured it, 26 and a half centimetres to the wheel.
What?
$120.
It's bloody
un-Australian.
Unbelievable. $120. Dave's nodding his head furiously.
Horrible.
Here, I think after your advice, I'm going to contest it.
Do it, Kate.
See what I can do.
Let me know how you go.
Do you want to call Dave as a witness?
I'll come in and give you
a happy. To,
we can do it together.
Dave is proof that if you whinge about it enough, something
Absolutely.
Will happen.
Dig your heels in.
Kate, un-Australian, thanks for the call. Yeah. Let's go to our last caller, Peter, what do you got, mate?
We got pulled over in a funeral procession.
Oh.
For what?
For a license check.
Oh, you're kidding.
On.
Did they pull over a bunch of cars, Pete, or just they singled you out?
They just pulled over us, who was, we were the third car in line behind the hearse.
And
everybody stopped behind us.
But were you in the carpooling lane because you had a body in the back? Was there any charges pulled out at all?
No, nothing.
Going too slow in the right lane, indicators on. This is...
That is properly un-Australian.
It's bloody un-Australian.
All right, well, Costa, that takes a cake. Give him something. That's
Peter from Maui.
That's Peter from Maui.
Yeah, he gets that.
All right, I think we're done here right now. Good work, everybody. Have you got one?
I've got one. A mate of mine just texted me and said, what about this one? No thongs allowed in the Qantas Club.
Un-Australian. They accept high viz.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
It's great to have Limo in filling in for Jane for today. We're here thanks to Bosch Procore 18V lithium ion batteries, now backed by a 6-year warranty. Good, better Bosch.
Bang! I love Bosch. Mm. When it comes to engineering, where would you like to go? Anywhere other than Germany?
Germany. Right. Germany, 100%.
It's the German strong suit. Yeah. if Sweden's as tulips, is that right? No, it's tulips. Netherlands.
Netherlands,
Well, why have you taken this turn, Dave?
Not me, it's you.
Mate, Germans...
I'm sure they're very good at tulips as well.
The Germans. Have you ever been to Germany?
No, I haven't.
Seen
actually.
On the ground, when it comes to engineering, no one even comes close to this lot. If you, any kind of engineering, don't take all your cues from Hogan Heroes. they're not all that dumb. Some of them are very good at their jobs, and when it comes to Bosch, bang, this battery has my name all over it. Do you know anything about the battery, Lima?
Hey, Mickey, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
So if you put a new battery on an old tool, how much more power does it give
25%
you?
25% off the top of my head.
Wow. Yeah, not bad. All right, what about this? They're all backed, all these tools, with what sort of warranty?
Well, I'd say it'd be at least six. Yes, I'm going to go with six. Bang! I'm all over it. Can I come back tomorrow night and play for the cars?
Yeah, what else have you got? Please.
Mate, make it a Bosch. Are you handy around the house, Limo?
No, not at all.
Now. You can be a complete idiot.
Actually,
put
you know
one
what?
Of these power tools in your hands and it's like magic.
Yeah. Right. My wife's the handyman around our house, to be completely honest.
Wow. So your wife with a Bosch is turning me on.
I tell you what.
If we can go there.
Mate, I'll tell you what. She gets the tool belt on, climbs the ladder.
Okay.
Quite the side of
the house. This plug is over.
Yes. Thanks to Bosch Procore.
What is wrong with you?
It's the 18V lithium ion batteries backed by a 6-year warranty.
Well done, Bosch.
Good, better, Bosch.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Limo's been helping us out today while Jane's been away. And Limo, one of the biggest trending stories in the world today has been that raccoon in the United States.
Imagine my surprise when I saw it was the number one trending topic globally, hashtag MPR raccoon.
Okay.
Now, this is a raccoon that climbed the UBS building in Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, got to about the 23rd floor, had a snooze. People have come from around the states.
It's not Trump and Kim Jong-un off the front page. We interrupt this highly political denuclearization.
Really has, because the raccoon is currently on a curved part of the building where it can get grip and climb. Above that is a smooth part of the building.
That's so interesting.
If it keeps climbing, it'll slip off. Everyone's worried, so we've got a man on the ground from NPR News to give us the very, very latest about this now internationally famous raccoon. It is Evan from NPR News. G'day, mate.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Good. Thanks. Evan, can you give us the very latest? We believe you're on the ground there looking up at the building and the raccoon.
The raccoon is safe. It has made it to the top of the building and is now on the roof.
And what's it doing on the roof? A bit of a victory dance or is it having a cigarette? What's it doing? It's got to the top.
Well, it's probably the only one up there. It's 3 a.m. here. So.
And is there still a crowd there? Paint the picture for us.
There are a couple TV cameras and 2 or 3 people hanging out. But, the crowd's mostly dissipated, but the crowd on Twitter has not gone to death.
It hasn't gone anywhere. Evan, when did the raccoon begin this journey?
About 9 o'clock on this morning, well, yesterday morning, it should be Tuesday, a coworker and I noticed it sleeping on a ledge on the first floor of the building.
Yeah.
So we called animal control and we started tweeting about it and it got a little local pickup. But then two workers from the building it was stuck on nailed 3 2x4s together.
Yeah.
And tried to make an impromptu ladder for it to climb down, ended up scaring it 23 floors up to the top of the
building. Right. And how long did the raccoon sleep for? It took a little nap. How long was it napping?
Oh, it took all day to get up there. It would stop and go. Yeah, it would climb a couple floors. It would stay for a couple hours, and then it stopped at this one attorney's office. So we ran across the street and up to the office and got a close-up look at the raccoon on the 23rd floor.
Wow. Yeah, all
right. The attorney was probably stitching up the movie rights or something for this epic story.
Indeed. And, Evan, is someone on the roof rescuing the raccoon, or is it getting the elevator back down to the ground floor?
No one's up there now, but they're trapped set up with cat food.
Oh, here we go. Oh, that part, it's not a possum, it's a raccoon. Well, thank you for bringing us up to speed, Evan. There's a lot of people all over Australia who are transfixed by this story.
Been watching it.
Happy to know that it's reached some point.
Yes.
And now the descent.
Do you have raccoons there?
We do have
raccoons. I was on the phone with the BBC and they told me they don't have them.
We don't have raccoons. We have possums and something called a wombat. Which, trust me, would not get to the top of a 50-story building.
The wombat wouldn't get to the first floor ledge.
What I worry about now, Evan, is they say it's the same with Mount Everest. The descent is the hardest part. Yes. Good luck, Evan. Good luck to NPR News. I hope there is a very happy result at the end of all this.
Well, cheers. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, mate.
A pleasure. There you go. Did you know, this is true.
Yes.
The origin of Big Brother was there was a badger.
Right.
That used to appear from a hole at the back of a pub. This is in North England. I'm not making this up. And it used to come up and appear every so often. And the guys used to stay out and watch it to see if when the badger would appear.
Yeah.
After a while, they couldn't be bothered waiting out the front. So they just got a camera, rigged it up so they could sit at the bar and watch. From the bar and see if when the badger poked its head out.
Right.
And the guy who eventually came up with the idea for Big Brother says, if people will watch this, they will watch anything and put a camera in a house to watch people's behaviour. And that was the origins of the whole Big Brother franchise.
And there it is. So now we can wait for a TV show where people climb a building?
I don't know, mate.
We could do a Mickey watch.
Paul, Minnesota?
A what?
We could do a Mickey watch. We can put a camera on you all day. People would watch that.
That's too much fun. there is one currently. It's doing the rounds. Hey, thank you for coming in today.
Mix on a couple of watch lists.
Yeah, don't have a look at that video if it pops up. Thank you, Limo. Jane will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
Jane Kennedy, by the way, has sent me some very funny pictures of her children who have been. She's been at a school function. I hope she's going to tell me the full story because it looks gorgeous. She'll be back on deck tomorrow. Thank you, Limo.
Thank you, team. It's been a pleasure.
Alex Rance and Lawrence Mooney tomorrow. This is Kennedy Mooney.
The new Bosch ProCore 18V lithium-ion batteries can last longer than this podcast. Upgrade today for 87% more power than the 6 amp hour. Good, better, Bosch.